it feels incredibly unusual, right, to be up here doing this, and I have a feeling it's unusual for you guys too. And so I guess before I get started, I just want to say it is going to be a little bit different. One way in particular, I think a couple months ago, Chris had, he extended the invitation to say that feel free to raise your hand in the middle of the sermon and ask a question or like it's give and take. I just want to be clear, that is not on the table today. So I love you all. No. So it will be different, right? Because I'm not trained. I certainly underestimated the weight of this, and what Chris goes through, what pastors go through, on a week in, week out basis, just the weight of being faithful to what he's put on our hearts. So I just want to be obedient to that. So anyway, let's do this. I want you guys to do one thing for me, if you can, is I want you to forget that it's me up here, right? And I'm going to try and forget it's me up here, all right? And we are just going to work through this where God is leading us today. And I truly do mean that, right? I don't want it to be, it's just about God's work here, right? And so we'll get into it. And really, the title was really related to a suffering servant, Jesus as the ultimate suffering servant. And what does that mean for our lives? And so as I started to think about that in just at the very core, I guess at the very root of it, right, it's those of us that call ourselves Christians, and, you know, we're here, right? So a large majority of us are going to fall into that category, but that means, right, very simply, that we believe in Jesus. We believe in the work that Jesus did on the cross. We believe that he lived perfectly here, died on the cross, and defeated death. And through that, we have eternal life. Profound, right? Profoundly amazing when you really think about it, right? Through that, right, we achieve righteousness. We appear righteous to God because of the work that Jesus has done on the cross. Pretty awesome, right? Unbelievably amazing. And yet, I can only speak for myself, right? But I think maybe a lot of us fall into this category where it's, we can, maybe we lose the magnitude of that, right? Because it becomes so familiar, right? It's something that is just at the core that we, I don't want to say we take it for granted, but we gloss over it maybe to move on to the deeper points or something, I don't know. But I think there's a part of us maybe that at the core we, because of it's familiar to us, maybe it loses some of the gravity, some of the weight, some of just the magnitude. Like Jesus suffered. He lived here, he suffered, and he said that, right? He said when, it was prophesied in Isaiah that he was going to have to suffer. And then in Mark, he says the same thing. He's talking to his disciples, and he says, you know what? Here, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to suffer while I'm here, and then I'm going to do the ultimate act of suffering, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to beat death and rise again. But that example, right, is a picture of the ultimate suffering servant. So today, we're going to look at what our response is to that. What does that lead us to, right? Contemplation of that, just dwelling on that idea, what does that drive us to? Like practically speaking, what does that drive us to? And so Jesus attempts to answer that question, right? He responds to that and he says, those of you that want to follow me, he says, you have to do this, right? You have to deny yourself and you have to take up your cross. Sounds simple, right? Sounds reasonable. But we're really going to delve into that and what that looks like. You know, salvation is free. Salvation is a free gift that we don't earn, right? We accept that. But then this call to discipleship is more than that. This call to discipleship, this call to follow him is going to cost us everything, right? And that's the point that Jesus was getting to, right? He's saying, that's great, like, welcome, right? Now I'm going to call you to this. And so we're going to look at that today, what that really looks like, right? That call to deny ourselves and to take up a cross, what that looks like. And really, preparing for this sermon was, I think this is how it works, Chris. It seems like maybe this is how it works, but Jesus really revealed my own heart to me. And I think maybe that is why it's so emotional, is he revealed to me that even in this act of offering to do the sermon, there's this, that my heart wasn't completely pure, right? So it's, we're called to this, right? We're I'm going to move around if that's okay. We're called to this, to lay down our life, right? This act of servanthood. And I was thinking when I asked to do this sermon that it was a way of doing that, right? I was thinking that it was an offering. And then what was revealed to me is this, that my heart was divided, right? That my motivation wasn't completely pure, right? So, and I don't know if this is normal or not, but I need water. I don't know if this is normal or not, but in preparing for it, it's like these ideas come into mind where it's like, oh, I just want to hear that, oh, that was such a good sermon, right? You nailed it, right? Oh, wow, you exposited that text so amazingly, right? That's not going to happen today, right? So I guess the temptation is to make it about me, right? And it really isn't. And so part of that motivation, I didn't even realize it, right? But part of that motivation was related to just that self-awareness, right? That idea of I don't know, drawing attention maybe. I don't know what the right word is, but that desire for approval maybe, which is sad, right? But that is part of the motivation, even in something that appears to be good, right? Something that appears to be right. Hey, I want to pitch in. I want to help. I'll preach that sermon. So there's this motivation that is not pure. But then also there's this motivation that is pure, right? There's a desire just to offer this, to obediently follow what I felt like God was putting on my heart. And that's really how it happened, right? Chris, it almost would have been better, right, if Chris had said, hey, can you do this? And I would say, oh, my hands were tied. Like, they asked me to do it. I didn't really want to, but okay, I'll do it, right? But no, it didn't go like that, right? I called Chris, and I said, hey, if nobody else is doing it, you know, I feel like this is, you know, there's something put on my heart, and I can do this. So all these temptations creep in, right? This idea of saying, you know, the fear of failure, the fear of not doing this right, the fear of it's like this battleground is going on in my heart as I work through this, right? The idea is good, right? The my desire, I declare that I want to serve, I want to lay down my life in this. But even in that desire, right, there's this tension that exists, right? There's a part of me that can't let go of myself, right? There's a part of me that says, I'll do it, but I still want to appear like I have it together. I still want to, which clearly I don't, right? But I still want to hear that I did a great job or I whatever, right? And so there's that tension. And we'll just leave it at that right now. I want to just keep that in mind as we're working through and reading the text, but just that tension exists. And really, I don't know completely. This will sound funny right now, I think, but I don't think completely that that tension is all bad. I think it's part of the process, and we'll look at what that looks like. So let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 8. And Mark chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 31 to 34. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." So if we look at verse 31, Jesus says, he makes it clear, right, that he is going to suffer. He says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests. So he's clearly saying he is going to suffer, right? And I don't think it was an easy thing. You know, the Bible talks about that there was a temptation to not want to suffer, right? But he knew that suffering this temporary pain, paying this price, is going to have an eternal benefit, right? So this example, this ultimate example of suffering that we have, right, in verse 31. He's saying, "Hey, I'm going to suffer, right? And this is the cause. This is the reward. This is why I'm going to suffer, right?" And then he goes on to say, "All right, I suffer. I provide that salvation, right? I provide that free gift from which you can live, right? So now what?" So then in 34, he says, "If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross, or deny yourself, and take up your cross, right?" So I don't think it's, and we're going to look at that in two parts, but they really work so closely together, right? But I don't think it's any accident that the first part of that is to deny ourselves, right? Because when you really look at it, what prevents us from laying down our life completely? What prevents us from willingly suffering to the point to say, "Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do"? And I think in a lot of ways it can be boiled down to that focus on ourselves, right? It's like we cling to preserving or to holding on to ourselves or protecting ourselves to the point of I think we have this posture of sometimes we have this posture where we say, how much of myself can I, how much of my worldly desires can I cling to? How much of my my reputation, my pride, how much of those things can I hold on to and still have Christ and still be saved, right? Where his call, he's saying, lay all of that down. Let go of that. Lay yourself down so that, right, make that decision to let go of yourself so that we can take up our cross, right? So if we look at that, if we look at the second half of that call to take up our cross, again, it's the action part, right? So if part A is to deny ourselves and to let go of ourselves, then part B is to take up our cross. It's to literally be willing to die for the cause, right? And so that's all Jesus said, right? He said, deny yourself, let go of yourself, and take up your cross and you can follow me. And so I think all of us would say that's our desire, right? All of us would say yes to that. That's what we want. But then in the practical application, we have examples of where that is sometimes really lived out, and then we have examples other times where maybe we fall short, right, where that doesn't happen. You know, I can think of the examples. The ultimate example right now is the Christians related to the ISIS crisis, where they are laying their life down, right? Kids, children are being asked if they will denounce Jesus, and they say, no, I love Jesus, right? That's a great picture of it, right? And then I can think of, there are examples closer to home here, right? There's examples in our own lives. I use the sermon illustration as an example of where even if our intention is to lay down our life, if our intention is to be willing to suffer in that way, sometimes we can, our flesh can eat away at us and can erode that desire. But then also we can have examples where maybe we're afraid to struggle, or we're afraid to admit to another Christian friend that we're struggling with a certain sin, right? Because we want to preserve how we look to that person. We want to preserve our reputation amongst our Christian friends, right? So we say, you know what, Lord, I can't lay down that part. I can't talk about that with a friend. If we're honest, I believe there are examples of all of that where maybe we fall short, right? Where we have that desire, but we fall short of it. But I also want to say there are times where we willingly do faithfully lay down our life. And there are so many examples here in this church that I'm so, so thankful for. You know, the other week, I guess it was like a couple months ago now, a Sunday afternoon, I'm driving to John and Sherry Frederick's house, and our car breaks down. And so I called Dave Landis, and there wasn't a question, right? He stopped what he was doing, and he came, and he helped us, and did whatever was needed to be done to get us on our way again. I think of Marv and Rachel Reinford are always aware, right, of what is going on and needs in the church, and they're willingly serving, right? There are examples, clear examples, and we could go on, right, about where we are willingly laying down our lives for the purpose of His kingdom work here. And so I don't want it to sound like, oh, we're not willingly suffering. I want us to think about the tension that exists, right? Where we have a desire to serve that way, but maybe there are aspects that prevent that desire from being lived out, that desire to serve Him. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about that battleground. Our hearts. It's like this, I think. So much of our Christian walk is the call is simple, right? The call is simple. Lay down your life, right? But then when we apply it, it becomes challenging, right? And that's where our heart is really revealed. And so our heart really becomes this battleground, right? This place where we have our flesh, we have our desires that are just like eating away at our desire to serve Him. And so I think it's worth looking at, right, to determine the root of that, or to determine the source of that. Like, how do we then, if our heart is a battleground, how do we then motivate our heart to want to serve and to willingly lay down our lives and to suffer if that's the cost. So in this, when I was putting these outlines together, there was a couple ways that I was debating on I thought, do I provide practical solutions, right? Like practical, like how-to methods to get our heart focused again? Or do we just talk about the motivation? How do we align our motivation back to what we are called to do, to lay down our lives? And so, I'm not going to give you practical examples or practical solutions, right? And I trust that we know them, right? I trust that prayer and time in the Word, that abiding in Him is going to affect our heart to the point where we're motivated to lay down our lives for Him. But I think more than that, and this is really the message that I believe God wants for us today, this is really the heart of it, is that if we are aware, if we spend time being aware of what Christ did for us on the cross, that motivates a heart, right? That motivates our heart to be willing to lay down that sacrifice in the same way, right? And so it works in an almost cyclical nature while moving forward, right? And so I'll try my best to describe this quickly. But if our relationship with God starts when we're saved, right? When we commit our life to Him, right? And then we move forward and life gets in the way, right? Our selfishness maybe starts to, we have desires that are contrary to what God wants us to do, right? So what do we do? Right? We have a choice in that time to say either point back to the cross, either ask for His forgiveness, or we can live in condemnation, or we can just continue to stray, right? But it's my prayer that we are motivated by going back to the cross again, right? We're going to fall. There are times where we are not going to live according to, we'll make mistakes, right? And when we do that, allow what He did on the cross for us to motivate us to just get back on that track again, right? And then all through that process, we're being purified. All through that process, we're maturing in our faith. All through that process, we are our relationship with Him is deepening, right? And we become more aware of what He wants to do in our lives. We become less aware of what we want. We become less aware of our desires, right? So it's like it just builds on itself like that, where contemplation on the cross motivates us to lay down our lives. And there's that tension, right, where we may not do it consistently. And if we don't, there's forgiveness, right, back at the cross, right? And contemplation on that, what He did on the cross, then motivates us, moves us forward to the point where we are, our relationship with Him is deepened or strengthened. You know, and I can think about it like this, where if we liken it to a marriage relationship, right? When you first get married, you are committing yourself to that person, right? Lisa and I got married, and I commit myself to her. And I say, I am going to live my life devoted to you, right? I'm going to live my life laying down my life for you. And then what happens, right? It's like as we move on, I still have that desire to do that. But then my own selfishness starts to chip away at that, right? And there's times where I'm like, oh, like I'm exhausted, right? I won't do it today, right? I won't serve in that way today, right? And so there's that battleground, even in relationships where I'm committed to her. I love her. But even in that, right, there's times where I fall short. There's times where I fail in the way that I care for her. And so to the extent that I lay down my life for her. That's the extent that my relationship with her is strengthened. Right? So it's, we are married. But if I don't decide on a daily basis to lay down my life and to sacrificially love her, well, then our relationship is going to be eroded, and it's going to move in a direction where we're going to not be as close. We're still married, right? But our relationship is not connected in the same way. And I think it's similar in our relationship with God, right? Where when we commit our lives to Him and we are saved, that's our relationship is starting with Him, right? And then every day we have a choice that we can make in response. Every moment we have a choice. Do I want to lay down my life in this situation? Do I want to lay down my selfish desires in this situation? Or do I just want to live selfishly in this moment, right? I still have that gift of salvation. But maybe I don't experience the joy of that relationship with Him as deeply, as nearly, as I would if I am laying down my life in that way, right? If my heart is motivated to the point where I willingly give that up, there's an end to that, right? It's we experience the joy of doing His work, right? We give up that temporary, momentary joy or happiness, and we experience the joy of serving in His kingdom. So let's pray together. Dear Lord, just thankful for Your Spirit, Lord, and I'm thankful for just the work that You do in our lives, Lord. And I thank You that the results are not dependent on us. And Lord, I just pray that that You'll use this time, just in my humanness, in my just in my weariness, Lord, I just pray that You'll just use this time and allow it to be valuable, allow it to speak to our hearts, allow it to just motivate us, Lord, to just lay down our lives, to be willing to lay down our lives in those daily moments, right, in the mundane, just that we lay down our lives and we say, I'm going to serve You in this, Lord. And that we can experience the joy of working in Your kingdom. Lord, just be with us now. I just pray for just that our hearts will be changed, that our hearts will be changed in response to this, and that You can use this time. In Your name we pray. Amen.